You're listening to the Wobcast with the one and only, the legendary, the insurmountable Wobby.
Hey everyone, what's up? It's Wobby at the 2018 NFL Scouting Combine on Radio Row, and it's another edition of the Wobcast. Lots of stuff going on here in Indianapolis at the Combine. You have some of the top college football players in the nation here working out in front of NFL teams, scouts, coaches, and you have free agency on the horizon. That begins on March 14th. So when you're at Radio Row, when you're in the press conference area, lots of stuff is going on. So what we did is we've interviewed a bunch of NFL analysts and experts and talking heads. PA, Voice of the Vikings, has been here doing his radio show for a couple of days. They've interviewed a bunch of talking heads as well. So what we're going to do is tee up some discussion topics and throw it to some of the best sound that we've captured here along Radio Row and at the press conferences. Head coach Mike Zimmer, GM Rick Spielman, they've both taken to Radio Row and have done interviews and have had press conferences. So some of their sound is going to be included in this. So lots coming up on today's edition of the Wobcast. We thank you for listening. And also, because we're on the road, not everyone from VEN obviously is in Indianapolis. There are five of us here. Chris Corso, not one of them. So we welcome back Nate Vaughn as producer of the Wobcast. What up, Nate?
Hi, Wobby. How's it going?
It's going great. So that's Nate Vaughn's cameo appearance on the Wobcast. Longtime listeners remember him being the co-host and the producer. He's back in that role today as we come to you from Indianapolis. So lots to get to. Obviously, the buzz in the NFL, honestly, is the Vikings and the quarterback situation. And I think when we get closer to the draft, that's not going to be the case. But in terms of right now in free agency, it definitely is. Everyone's talking about the Vikings and the quarterback situation. In fact, where we are set up on Radio Row is really close to a bunch of other teams who are doing their shows, some of them live, some of them taped, and they're talking about what's going to happen with the quarterback situation in free agency, particularly with regard to the Vikings. So that's where we're going to begin today with the Wobcast. And I think of anyone who has been asked about it or who has spoken about it who's not an employee of the Vikings, the one who kind of detailed and outlined the situation the best was ESPN insider Adam Schefter. We had a chance to chat with Adam Schefter ourselves here in Indianapolis, but he did an exceptionally good job breaking it down when he was with Paul Charchian and Paul Allen on Radio Row. So we're going to kick it to that sound right now to tee up the quarterback topic for the Vikings.
What's, you know, where do you think this thing goes with Kirk, and who are the viable suitors, and do you have a sense how this thing's going to shake out?
I have a little bit of a sense. I would say this, that when you look at the Kirk Cousins situation, I don't believe that there's going to be a team that is more aggressive and eager and frankly desperate than the New York Jets.
Yes.
And they've got a lot of cap space.
Mm-hmm.
So they are going to come at Kirk Cousins harder than any other team in the league. There are going to be minimum three viable suitors. Bill Polian told me this morning that there's a fourth team that I don't know.
Really?
Who's going to be getting in on this, that if the price is right. But the price is not going to be right.
No.
So whatever team Bill is referring to, and I had this conversation with him off the set. That's great, Bill. You've got your team. We'll call it the Colts, even though it's not the Colts.
Yeah, right? Sure.
The Colts are going to be interested if the price is right. The price
it
isn't going to
be right.
It's just not going to be right because the Jets are going to make it such that it's not right. The Broncos are going to make it such that it's not right. I don't expect the Browns to be there. And the Vikings, I think, don't know, but I think the Vikings will be interested at their own price.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So now the question becomes, if you're Kirk Cousins, and we can make up numbers here, okay? Let's put the Jets in at 30.
Yep.
Let's put the Broncos in at 25. And let's put the Vikings in at 22.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I don't think you can win that.
I'd like
okay?
to put us in at 26 if you don't mind.
Okay, but I don't know if the Vikings want to go to 26.
All right.
But that's
well,
fine.
All right, but let's play out your scenario.
Let's go 30, 25, 23.
Okay.
How about that?
All right.
Fair.
All right.
You're Kirk Cousins. You want to go to a franchise that hasn't won, go play in the New York media market, which is very difficult.
Yeah.
For $30 million a year.
After you've made 44 the last 2 years.
Do you want to go to Denver, go play for John Elway on a good defense for 25? Or do you want to go to the best plug-and-play situation out there for 23. And again, I'm making these numbers up,
sure, right?
Right. But you get the idea of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
The Jets are going to be at one price. The Broncos are going to be at another price. The Vikings are going to be at a third price. The other factor to consider, the agents, this is a huge deal to them.
Oh, yeah.
And the NFLPA is going to provide a lot of pressure to make it such that this deal becomes a benchmark deal in terms of the guarantees that there are. Mm-hmm. You said that too, Paul?
Yeah.
They're going to want this deal to be maybe fully guaranteed.
Ugh, wow.
And the agents are going to want a big number. So now when we got those three offers that we're talking about from the Jets and the Broncos and the Vikings, are the agents and the PA going to be pushing into sign with Minnesota? Or is the player going to feel strongly enough that he's going to say, I don't really care what the PA wants.
Right.
Yeah. I don't care about your record deal, agents. I want to go play in Minnesota, and I'm willing to do that for less. And I don't know what his thinking will be on this, but I will just say this to you, that I believe some version of what I'm describing to you is how it's going to play out.
Yeah.
All right, so there is the setup from Adam Schefter, and no one has their pulse on the NFL more than him. So our thanks to Adam Schefter for joining us and for joining PA in charge. There's the quarterback situation set up, at least from the prism of the NFL scouting combine in Indianapolis. Now, when it comes to Kirk Cousins, who is still under contract with the Washington Redskins, so you didn't hear Mike Zimmer or Rick Spielman talk about him, and you're not going to hear us talk about him, but lots of the experts we talked to here at the Combine were talking about Kirk Cousins and his potential fit with the Vikings and with other teams. So you're going to hear now from Steve Wyche and John Clayton, who are bullish on the prospects of Kirk Cousins in free agency. Welcome back to Indianapolis. The 2018 Scouting Combine continues. We have, from the NFL Network, but also a Minnesotan,
right,
Steve Wyche, with us to talk Combine and Vikings and everything that's going on.
North Minneapolis in the house.
There we go. All right.
So what'd you think about our season?
Fantastic. I was very surprised the way it ended, the way they were rolling, and then, you know, of course they lose the eventual Super Bowl champions, but just they probably played their worst game of the season at the wrong point of the season. But otherwise, just fantastic. The way Case Keenum showed up, the way guys like Latavius Murray showed up after some injuries, like the injury to Dalvin Cook early on. The great play by Stephon Diggs against the Saints there. So they really, you know, other than the way that NFC playoff game ended, could not have asked for a better season.
What were some seasons or teams or players that you remember watching growing up in Minnesota as a Vikings fan?
Yeah, well, I was there for, I'm old enough to know, I was there to remember all, you know, three of the four Super Bowls, you know, there in the 70s. You know, Chuck Foreman is my favorite player of all time.
Rookie of the year.
Yeah, Sammy had such a short career because people remember him. He was like Le'Veon Bell before Le'Veon Bell. I mean, he was that guy. You know, all those teams, Alan Page, Fran Tarkenton. I mean, I can go down the list. Fred Cox, you know, all, you know, the, was it Ben's Bob Lurtz, them all.
Yeah.
I remember all those guys.
Yeah. So.
Well, now, a more recent player, Randy Moss, going into the Hall of Fame this year, that's going to be super cool. I would imagine you're going to be there covering it in some capacity, right?
I will. I mean, slam dunk that he was going in. I mean, Randy Moss had, you know, the great moments of his careers with the Vikings. Just a transcendent player. I mean, a guy 6'4", 6'5", running a 4.3 40. You know, he got a verb named after him. You know, he's, you know, you mossed a guy. So, yeah, I mean, he a deserving first ballot Hall of Famer. So it will be exciting. It's good for him. I know it means everything to him. You know, a conversation I had with him after it was announced he was going in. He was just like, it's amazing when I look at all the mistakes I made in my career, when I look at all the people who helped me get to this point, and to realize, wow, I'm going in there with, I now believe, is 317 other people, that he's one of that group. I mean, I think it really, really has hit home with him.
For the current squad, I think here everyone's going to talk about the quarterback situation, right? Yeah. So what's your opinion on that? You know, I want to leave it open-ended for you. You take it anywhere you want. The Vikings quarterback situation, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think the fact that they're letting Case Keenum go, I mean, which I thought they would do, because just that market value, I don't think on the open market he was going to get command with that franchise number would be like $20 million plus. If there's not, you know, that huge of a market, maybe they bring him back. I think they're very much in the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes. Everything I'm hearing is it looks like they've really targeted Kirk Cousins, and that's something that could happen. Kirk would be perfect in this system. He's a younger guy who could play in this system for 10 years. You get Daryl Bevel running the offense. Daryl's back, right? Correct?
John DeFilippo.
John DeFilippo. Why did I say Daryl Bevel? John DeFilippo.
No.
But Filippo is an aggressive play caller, someone who's going to do some things to maybe take this offense up a notch with Dalvin Cook getting back healthy. So That, of course, is the big question, because I think even here with the draft and free agency, you take Kirk Cousins off the market, then really what's the next move? Yeah. So maybe that works well for Case Keenum. But, yeah, I do think if Kirk Cousins comes to Minnesota that he could be – now, granted, they didn't lose that playoff game because Case Keenum. Yeah. But I think Kirk Cousins is a guy who could really take them to the next level.
You know, you mentioned Dalvin Cook, and I want to ask you about him. You know, because last year at this time, he was here.
Yep.
Dalvin Cook was here. The Vikings end up with him. And through 3.5 games, it looked like the Vikings had a guy who might be the rookie of the year. So what do you think about him coming back and the impact he can have with John DeFilippo and the Vikings offense next season?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. He's going to have a huge impact because people saw he's kind of in the mold of the Devontae Freeman. He can catch it. He can run. He can hit the big play. What was going on, though, when he was doing his thing is Latavius Murray was still kind of coming back from that leg injury. Now we saw how healthy Latavius Murray is and how good he was. That 1-2 combination over the course of a 16-game season, that's going to let Cook play all 16 games for the most part. It's going to diversify the offense a little bit because you have two completely different styles of runners. So I think it's going to let Flip, you know, do some very aggressive things with the offense. Flip's an aggressive play caller, so it's going to be very interesting to see what he does. Regardless of who the quarterback is.
And fans, they're watching. They love aggression on offense, right?
Well, you would think so. I think it worked for the Philadelphia Eagles this year.
I'd say it did. Yeah, it did.
So.
All right, to catch more of Steve's stuff, make sure you check out NFL Network. Thanks for your time, man. Appreciate
Absolutely.
Absolutely, you got it. 2018 NFL Scouting Combine, Indianapolis. The professor, John Clayton, here to talk not Seahawks, Vikings. We're here to talk Vikings. What do you think about the Vikings heading into 2018?
I got to figure out the quarterback thing. I know I talked to Rick Spielman earlier, and actually he's not going to tip off what he's going to do. Right now, I don't know if he knows what he's going to do.
Right.
He's got to get the right decisions on this. But the good part is, I mean, it's like I can't remember a time where there's more options available at this time than there are. I mean, first off, as he calls it, unique. Mm-hmm. A unique thing with three guys that are on this team that are unsigned but can sign. So you have three options there. And it's like, okay, but if Kirk Cousins is the one that can get this team a little bit farther, mm-hmm. then you go a little bit above that to pay him. How much do you pay him a little bit more? You can do that. I mean, there's quarterbacks in this draft that obviously the Vikings don't have much of a chance to get because of the success of last year.
Right.
But it's like it's a unique situation. But you know, it's almost like you look at Jacksonville and they just kind of did a reshuffled deal to kind of get more cap room with Blake Bortles, but Blake is going to be there this year. But like in Jacksonville and Minnesota, both teams are in a position where the defense is so good, each team is one quarterback, not from going to the Super Bowl, but maybe winning a Super Bowl with the defense as good as both teams are. Now, can they get the right decision on the quarterback?
Yeah, and that's what everyone's going to be talking about here at the Combine. Now, if you look, let's take it a step further and go with a different position on the Vikings roster. I want to get your thoughts on the running back position because the Vikings have Dalvin Cook, who will come back from his knee injury. And then when he went down, it was McKinnon and Murray. Mm-hmm. They signed Murray in free agency. He did a great job, especially in short yardage. And then McKinnon is sort of a versatile guy. If you were building the team, how would you like the running back position to look for 2018?
Well, I'd like to have Dalvin Cook as my starting running back because I think he's that good. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine the timing of his ACL injury is such that he should be able to come back. But obviously, you have to cover yourself. And so now the debate's going to be in the middle of March, do you give the roster bonus to Kate Latavius Murray? Or do you maybe take McKinnon and give him a lower contract, which I don't think he's going to be in a position to even get what Murray's going to be able to get. So I would lean to think that it's going to be McKinnon over Murray, with Murray being gone on the team, which means both he and another Murray, DeMarco Murray, could be out there. Because you're watching right now, there's an amazing switch of a lot of the $6 million, $4, $5 million running backs being let go. I mean, we're almost watching one just about every day. And as good as Murray is, it's like, okay, can you get McKinnon to come in for less and free up some cap room in that, or do you need to commit to Murray? But obviously, just out of protection's sake, you've got to have somebody there in case Dalvin doesn't come back.
Yeah. All right. We have the Seahawks on the schedule coming up, so we're not going to let you go without giving you a Seahawks question. We want to keep our eyes on our opponents as well. So what's going on with the Seahawks these days?
A lot of change, because right now they're in a stage where they're older on defense and they have to make a lot of tough decisions. I mean, for example, there's still the thought that Cliff Averill's not going to be able to play next year. There's still the thought that Cam Chancellor, even though he's got $6.8 million in an injury guarantee that he's already qualified for, he may be on the team, but he may not be able to play. Then they have tough decisions. Richard Sherman, can you keep him? Should you franchise Sheldon Richardson or sign him to a contract? Can Michael Bennett come back? And so there's a lot of change that's going to come up on that defense. And if Bennett's not back and Averill's back, not back, that's about 43% of your pass rush, because now Frank Clark goes from number three to number one, and you don't have much behind him. So they have a lot of tough decisions to make. They don't have picks in the second and third round, so you figure they're going to trade down from 18. They got to get better running back support. Their offensive line's got to play better. They've got a lot of things going on, but they're still a good team.
All right. Thanks for your time. You're in high demand at the Combine, and you gave us a few minutes. We appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
We certainly did not reach a consensus on this topic. In fact, we talked to Pete Prisco and PA in charge, talked to Mike Florio, and they had a bit of a different perspective on what the Vikings could do at quarterback. Our coverage from the Combine continues. We're outside Radio Row. We found one of our friends, Pete Prisco from CBS Sports. Now, you're going to like what you hear from Pete, and if you want to hear more of it, you can check out something new that you guys are doing. You just started, I believe, last week.
Launched on Monday, CBS Sports HQ, 24-hour round-the-clock network, and you get a lot of me on there, so that's a good thing.
I didn't know anyone would want 24/7 of you.
I mean, not even my wife does, by the way.
Right, yeah, this is strange, but I guess it works, right, if they want you to do it.
Hey, you got to feed the beast when it comes to football, right? They'll take as much as they can get, you know that.
Yep, and this is the time of year for that. Lots of stuff going on. It's the Combine, and there are college players here auditioning in front of pro teams, but everyone kind of talks about free agency, at least at this time of the Combine. And for the Vikings, there's a lot of talk about free agency. What's your mindset on the Vikings as they head toward March 14th?
We better find a quarterback. I mean, first and foremost, but which one is it? Do you bring back Case Keenum? Do you get into Kirk Cousins sweepstakes? I'm not one of those guys that thinks you overpay for Kirk Cousins. I'll be honest with you. I think you look at his track record. He's a good quarterback, but is he a $30 million quarterback? No, he's not. And so you're going to overpay for him. I think what Jacksonville did last week with Blake Bortles, giving him a short-term extension and staying out of the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes is good for them, because now they don't have to pay the quarterback position. They come back and pay Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack and build your defense. And I think the Vikings should be in that situation. If I'm the Vikings, I'd be real careful with Kirk Cousins.
All right, so once they do get the quarterback situation solved, whoever that is going to be working really closely with a new offensive coordinator. What did you think of the John DeFilippo hire for us?
I like it. Now, look, he's never called plays. I mean, so that's a big step up. He had a brief little stint in Cleveland where he called plays, but it's a big step up. But I think he's more than capable of it, and I think he's an aggressive play caller. He wants to drive the ball down the field. We saw what the Eagles did. You guys saw what the Eagles did.
Yeah.
You know, they surprised you guys a little bit. They threw the ball down the field. I think that's what he's going to want to do. Now, does that mesh with Zimmer? Mike Zimmer is a defensive coach who wants to play great defense, run the ball, and keep it close to the vest. But the league is trending toward playing more wide open. I think Mike has realized that. He saw that last year. I think that's what they'll do.
Yeah, and it's probably going to have to be a blend of things, you know, a blend of ideas and a blend of strategies, most likely. And that's going to be the trick, is finding that balance. Running back for the Vikings. Dalvin Cook went down, but at the time, we were super excited about Dalvin Cook. So you saw that, but then you saw how it was pretty good even after him with Murray and McKinnon. Now you have a draft class here with a couple of good running backs, and McKinnon's a free agent. So how should the Vikings handle all of that?
Well, you know, Cook's coming off the ACL, but usually nowadays the ACL, you're okay. You know, it's not like the old days where it was catastrophic. So I think he'll be fine. I would draft another running back. I'd probably get one in the third round. We saw that last year. Alvin Kamara came in the third round. Kareem Hunt came in the third round. You can find running backs. So draft another one, bring him in. Maybe a bigger guy, you know, maybe a guy who can run tougher through the tackle. I think Cook's going to be a star, by the way. I thought all along that they got one of the best backs in this draft. I still think he's going to be.
Awesome. Last question, NFC North. Packers get Rodgers back. The Vikings have won that division two of the last 3 years, and they've won four out of the last five against Green Bay. Lions pretty good. They get a new head coach, and the Bears are starting over with a new head coach and a nice young quarterback. So you look at the NFC North, and how do you lay it out for 2018?
Well, whenever Rodgers is back, I always pick the Packers. Okay. I mean, I pick the Packers.
It hasn't worked out lately.
No, it hasn't, but I pick the Packers every year to go to the Super Bowl. Packers and Patriots, because it's Brady and Rodgers. I'll take the two best quarterbacks. But look, it's going to be close. The Vikings are a damn good football team. Whatever they do at the quarterback position will decide it for me. If they go out and get Kirk Cousins, maybe they're better, but I don't know how much better. And do they have to start picking apart the team a little bit because they spent that money on him? Packers, Vikings, Lions, and Bears.
All right. That's it from Pete Prisco and from me. Radio Row at the Combine, but for more from him, go to CBS Sports or Twitter, and for more from us, stay right here at Vikings.com.
What's the steam? Got any steam? Kirk Cousins? Anything going on right now? What's up?
Well,
this is Steam Central.
Here's what I gleaned from talking to Rick Spielman yesterday on PFT Live. First of all, and I think it's become a given that Teddy Bridgewater is going to be a free agent. This whole tolling of his contract thing that the league could do. I don't think the league is going to do it. And Rick said that he believes the league is not going to announce at some point in the next week and a half, oh, by the way, Teddy Bridgewater is not a free agent. Because I don't think they want to get into another fight like the one they lost with A.J. McCarron. With A.J. McCarron, an arbitrator found that the Bengals improperly put him on the non-football injury list in 2014 when he could have been cleared to play. Ah. And I think the argument with Teddy would be that the Vikings doctors improperly left him on the physically unable to perform list as of week one last year when he could have been cleared to play. And I don't think the league's got an appetite to lose two in a row like that. You're throwing the Martellus Bennett case that they lost this week. They don't like to lose, and I think that sometimes that causes them to exercise discretion in a certain way. So I don't think they're going to pick this fight, and I think Teddy's going to be a free agent.
And I don't think the Vikings are either, right? And the Vikings sort of abdicated it to the NFL.
The Vikings have because you're going to make the other Vikings players very upset.
Right.
If there's any perception that you're mistreating Teddy Bridgewater. So the Vikings are taking a very hands-off approach to this. And I think, if anything, their preference would be that the league just lets it go. If they had a choice, I don't think they want this, because even if it's the league that says we're making this decision, it's still going to be identified as a Vikings decision.
And maybe that's for the best anyway, because Teddy has said he wants to be a starter next year, but I think he needs to go test free agency and find out how many teams are ready to anoint him as a starter, and I don't think there are that many, unfortunately, for him. I think he might find a position where he could compete to be a starter, but nobody's going to hand him a starting job.
I don't disagree with that at all. And here's what I think is going to happen.
Yes.
I think, based upon talking to Rick, and he didn't say this on the air or off the air, but he told me that they want to make a decision by March 14. And if they want to make a decision by March 14, the first day of free agency, that tells me that they are leaning toward re-signing one of the guys they have, because I don't think they're going to sign a stranger to the team sight unseen. We reported earlier this week that Kirk Cousins intends to take visits, at least one, before he signs. He's not going to do a Brock Osweiler deal where you agree to terms during the 48-hour negotiating window, and then you go to Houston and sign the contract. Oh, hey, Bill O'Brien, nice to meet you. I've already committed to working for you for the next 3 years. Oops, wait, it's only 1 year because we ended up hating each other.
Right.
I don't think the Vikings want that. I don't think Cousins wants that. So if Rick Spielman says we're making a decision by March 14, I interpret that to mean they believe that between Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater, Case Keenum, they're going to work this to get one of them signed. Remember what they did with Everson Griffin 5 years ago? They let Griffin get into the 48-hour window. He saw what else was out there. They came in, got the deal done. And I think Rick needs to let Bradford, Bridgewater, Keenum see what else is out there or what isn't out there. I think that's why it conveniently came out this week that they're not going to tag Case Keenum. I think you want Case to find out what he's worth. Because who's going to offer him $20 million a year? Nobody. Who's offering him $18 million a year? I don't know. Sight unseen.
Maybe.
Sight unseen.
Yeah.
Who's going to offer him $18 million a year? Whatever anyone else offers him, I think it's going to be less than what the Vikings will pay him. Your table's falling apart here, Paul.
Our table is
falling apart. But I think that plan A, I believe plan A is to sign one of the guys they have. Now
maybe my favorite soundbite so far from the Combine came from Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer, who is in charge of the entire team and not necessarily one position on the team. And so I thought Coach Zimmer's perspective was interesting, and he pointed out that football is a team game, and the Vikings have won a lot of games over the years because they've had a good team. So Mike Zimmer talked about the Vikings quarterback situation and a bunch of other topics when he was doing his press conference here at the Combine. Here's some of the best sound from Coach Zimmer.
You know, it's really the $64,000 question with all three of these guys, right? I mean, can Sam stay healthy? Is Teddy what he was? Is Case the guy that he was last year, or was he 2 years ago? And so that's really the $64,000 question with us. Now, with Sam, you know, I love Sam. I love all three of them, okay? So they're all great people. Sam was skiing in Jackson Hole last week. You know, he's a tremendous athlete, so, you know, I think he'll stay healthy, but who knows? I mean, I have a crystal ball, but I didn't bring it with me. But it didn't tell me if he's going to stay healthy or not. I love Teddy. You know, as I said that before, you know, this kid is a great competitor. He's got the heart of a lion, a champion. He's going to do everything he possibly can to be ready. I wouldn't address the guy if I didn't think he was ready during the season. If he would have had to go in, I was comfortable playing him. You know, obviously got in a couple snaps in the one game, but you know, I'm hopeful for Teddy, number one, that he has an outstanding career. He's earned it. He's deserved it. You know, hopefully it's with me, but you know, if not, then I wish him best of luck. I'll give him a hug and hope for the best for him.
So the combine is a big time, obviously, for general managers because they are continuing the evaluation of this incoming draft, this incoming class of players for the draft, but they're also sort of setting the foundation for what's going to happen in free agency. Now, the rules are such that a GM like Rick cannot talk to free agents of players from other teams. They can only talk to the agents of players on their team. So when he was at the podium for his press conference, Rick Spielman kind of talked about the process of meeting with these agents of players on their team and the priority re-signings and getting players to come back, because sometimes the best signings that you can make as a team are re-signings. So here's some sound from GM Rick Spielman's press conference.
I'm sure you want me to address the quarterback situation. We feel very strongly about moving forward because of all of the in-depth knowledge we have on our current three quarterbacks, also the practical game knowledge that we have on those guys. We're always going to be looking at options at all areas to try to make sure we're finding the best fit for the Minnesota Vikings, not only on the field from a schematic standpoint, but also with the leadership of Coach Zimmer, the culture that has been established in our locker room. Just to make clear, there have been no decisions made. I know there's been 1,000 reports out there on how we're going to move forward. We will continue to evolve this process. I'll go through the meetings this week with the agents. When we get back, we'll circle back around and finalize a game plan as we go forward. Last thing I want to address right off the bat is the Teddy Tolling situation. we've been in constant contact with the league. This, I will make clear, will be a league decision. I don't personally believe, with what I know today, that his contract will toll. I know the NFL and the league will address the situation relatively here in the near future. The issue can go either way, though. There has not been, until the NFL tells us which way the decision's going, it's not been resolved yet, but they will address that. Teddy's been a great teammate. Teddy is a great kid, unbelievable representative of our organization, unbelievable work ethic and attitude on how he came back from such a significant injury. As an organization, I just want to put out that we are always going to look out for the best interests of our players. And anytime that we can do that, we're going to do that. And that comes down from our ownership, down through me and Coach Zimmer. So I'll go ahead and open it up for any questions. I will leave that to the league. I'll let the league respond to that. I think we have a lot more knowledge of Teddy than anyone else. I mean, our medical department has rehabbed him ever since the surgery was done. We've seen him in practice. Our coaches have worked with him. He got a chance to play a couple snaps. I think it was in a Cincinnati game. But we probably have more in-depth knowledge than anyone on where he's at right now in his current status.
When you say you got to get more information to make your confidence as a quarterback, is that strictly just numbers at this point?
I think we have a pretty good idea of what we feel, but also know that a lot of things will go into play in this decision. You know, contracts are definitely a factor in it. The one thing is that we always have done is we've always planned out from our contracts 2 or 3 years down the road. I know we were very aggressive last offseason about getting Xavier Rhodes, Everson Griffin, and Linville Joseph done. Our objective, like I said earlier, is to draft well and then keep those players on your roster. We have some significant contracts coming up with some key players, especially on the defensive side, but offensive side as well. So that all goes into play on as we go through this decision. And that will continue to evolve up till the start of free agency.
A fun thing that we do every year at the Combine is we head over to Lucas Oil Stadium and we catch up with some of NFL Network's draft analysts. And it's always Daniel Jeremiah and someone else. This year it was Charles Davis. So you can catch those interviews right now on Vikings.com. But we're going to throw to some sound of Daniel Jeremiah. He knows this draft class as well as anyone. We asked him about a bunch of different stuff. So go check out that interview to listen to all of it. But we're going to share some sound with you right now where Daniel Jeremiah was talking about, funny, the quarterbacks, but this time the draftable quarterbacks, some of the better ones, and where you can find some of them in the draft. Also, DJ went over some options for the Vikings at number 30. Our coverage of the Combine continues. We're inside Lucas Oil Stadium with NFL Media's Daniel Jeremiah, who knows the class as well as anybody, and we don't know the class very well yet. So what are we going to get in this year's draft class? What distinguishes it maybe from others?
Well, I think people always ask what the deepest position is in a draft, and I don't recall ever using quarterback as the example. I think this year it is. I mean, when you look at the big five quarterbacks that we have with Darnold, Rosen, Mayfield, Allen, and Jackson, and then outside of that five, I still think there's three or four more other guys that are pretty interesting. Luke Falk, you look at Mason Rudolph, you got Mike White, and you've got LaLeta from Richmond. So that's a big group of quarterbacks and one of the deepest classes we've seen. And then running back class, just like last year, a lot of depth there as well. And then the more work I'm doing on this corner class, I think it's a really solid group there.
Ooh, Mike Zimmer's going to like that.
He can't have enough of those corners. He loves collecting options.
Okay, what are they? I think Alabama's got a pretty good one, right? Any others that stand out to you maybe? Remember, the Vikings are at 30.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that guy will be there or not, but.
Well, I keep an eye on a guy like Isaiah Oliver from Colorado, who's a great player. He's a decathlete, so you talk about what kind of special athlete you are. And then as a track guy, sometimes you question toughness and instincts. Well, no, it's not an issue with him. So a little bit tight for a big corner, which is normal, but I think that might be why he could be available there at the bottom of the first round. You've got some guys maybe a little undersized. Jerry Alexander, who from Louisville is a great player. He's tough. He kind of plays on the boundary side, so they use him a lot in run support, and I love what he brings to the table. I mean, there's a long list of those guys. You've got LSU has two corners, Dante Jackson, who's really, really explosive, more of a nickel inside player, and then his teammate Tolliver is going to be an outside corner who's very similar to a guy like P.J. Williams when he was coming out of Florida State. So, I know they're at the bottom of the first round, which is where you want to be, but they're still going to have some good options there.
Let me ask you this as a guy who was a scout. When you get to this stage of the evaluation process, you know, Mike Zimmer really cares about alignment and technique and, you know, the mental part of the game. How do you evaluate that part of a corner or a safety or any player really when you get to this stage?
Well, you look at on the tape how they're used and how they're incorporated, different techniques that they play. Mike Hughes, like from Central Florida, is a great example because you'll see him play press. You see him play off coverage. You'll see him in cover three. You'll see him in cover four. You get to see him do a wide variety of things. So there's no guesswork, and that's what you want as an evaluator. Eliminate that guesswork and know exactly what you're getting. And then when you get out here at the combine, that's where you're trying to fill in those gaps. Okay, I didn't really see this guy in off coverage. Yeah. What does his pedal look like? What's he look like when he has to turn and open up? That's just, you know, one position. But you go through all the positions. Running back, I have a guy that doesn't catch the ball much. I mean, last year we had Corey Clement from Wisconsin. Yeah. Goes undrafted. Yeah. As you guys well know, isn't having a big year for the Philadelphia Eagles. Question was, he came out on third down. How does he catch the ball? Well, you get into a workout setting like this, that's where you can get a chance to give them some reps there and see how they do.
All right, DJ, thanks for your time. Vikings.com and on the Vikings social media platform. So we thank you for listening, and we encourage you to continue tuning in to Vikings.com. We'll have more expert and analyst interviews here from Radio Row and the press conference area. And, of course, we'll have a bunch of cool content. We have one of our writers, Eric Smith, who's here banging out a bunch of articles. Craig Peters and Lindsey Young are back home writing some articles. The guys are filming press conferences. Lots of stuff happening here at Radio Row and at Lucas Oil Stadium at the 2018 NFL Scouting Combine. We'll come back And in the coming weeks, we'll break it all down. We'll review what we saw and what we heard from the combine. And then we'll look forward to free agency, which, remember, begins on March 14th. So that's it for now. We thank you for listening. This is Wobby signing off. And we'll talk to you next time. So, yeah, I start with